that clarity. Are there three of you now? We hopefully see you.
Maybe we get one new follower and listener each time.
Maybe.
So now it's your dad.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then D will maybe be mine.
Okay, I like it. I like her. We're doing really good here. Just
it's C. It's three.
C for confident.
Yep. What's wrong with being confident? That was a banger.
What's wrong? I liked that one.
I liked that song too.
Yeah. I enjoyed that one. Thanks, Demi.
Thanks, girl.
What's wrong with being? That song came out when I was teaching spin class. So it was like a little hill we would climb. What's wrong with being?
If there was ever a spin song, it's that fucking song.
It was really fun. It was fun. Anyway, we're here to talk about some tea.
What tea we sipping today?
We're sipping that cinnamon tea. But
yummy.
Let me tell you, there's not all cinnamons are created equal.
Really?
There's like the regular.
What does that mean?
Cassia. Cinnamon, which is
cassia. Also a C word.
Exactly. Cinnamomum is like it's
Cinnamomum? Erraticum?
Aromaticum.
I said erratic.
Reading is really good for us. We love reading. That's so that is like the cheaper brand, the well-known variety, and it's found in China.
The cassia is the cheaper.
Okay. Yeah. It's just made it more in abundance, I guess. Okay. And then more of a specialty cinnamon is the Ceylon cinnamon, which is found
also
more.
Also a C word. Whoa. Yeah. So on brand.
We love cozy cinnamon tea.
Yeah. Tell me about the Ceylon.
Then there's like subspecies. It's, you know, but the really good stuff is more found in India.
Okay.
And it has like essential oils can be derived from it.
Oh.
And it has a light, milder aroma flavor. And it's less common, but it's been prized as a cooking spice. And it's the cinnamon I use.
Is the Ceylon?
Yeah.
Mm.
I probably use
the other one.
Well, I don't blame
you. Not
to be
classist, cinnamon is.
So the teas are both good for other things like diabetes. It just helps lower that blood sugar spike. And all that. And then it also improves insulin sensitivity and improves the metabolic markers associated with insulin resistance, which is all good things for y'all and your body. So cozy up to some of that cinnamon tea. You know, if you want to be a little more natural and specialty, go for that Ceylon.
Yeah.
Otherwise, go for the Cassia.
I love a cinnamon flavor.
I do,
like,
too.
Like, it's classic. It really is.
Yeah. It's a little nostalgic, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember, like, being a kid and, like, crushing French toast, cinnamon French toast.
And then, I was just thinking, I even put it in my coffee.
Oh, yeah, I do. But I put it in my coffee every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
I love putting cinnamon in coffee. It is, like, reminiscent of desserts and, like, you said French toast.
Do you remember, did you do, like, cinnamon,
Toast crunch. The taste you can see.
Like the bread, just like a cinnamon and sugar toast.
Yeah.
Like we just
or like
buttered
monkey
this,
bread.
We used to monkey bread. Yeah, but monkey bread was never as good as just a plain old piece of toast with butter.
Yes.
And
I
then
think
just
that,
sprinkling
like,
cinnamon and sugar.
That's
on
like
it.
Only 90s kids would know.
Oh, it was so
like it was
good.
Like you just had your breakfast was a piece of plain piece of toast, like white bread ass piece of toast with a layer of butter and a layer of cinnamon and maybe a little sugar.
Did you want a little cinnamon and sugar with that butter?
Always. You know what I also want? To spill the tea on the celebs.
Spill the tea.
C for celebs. Ooh. Let's do it.
What's going on? What's going on?
Hola, guys. We're spilling the tea. Episode C.
Shake, 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 shake it. Shake, shake,
shake. You mean shake it off?
Shake it off. Which was not featured in Taylor Swift's documentary Americana because of the Scooter Braun stuff.
I wouldn't know. Haven't watched. Don't care to watch.
It was really good. Tay is my guilty pleasure. And I'm not even guilty anymore. I just love the shit out of Tay Tay.
Fun.
You guys.
Let me know what that's like.
If you haven't picked up on it yet, I'm team Taylor and she's team Kanye.
Yeah. I mean, regardless, I'm just like not team Taylor at all. But, you know, we all have our sides.
I've heard
it's a very well-produced documentary. That's my nice way of saying I don't give a shit to watch about anything about content about Taylor. But
all right.
I have heard it's well-produced. So you watched it?
Yeah. It was great.
What'd you think?
That was really good. I love her. I think we're friends.
But like content-wise, you thought it was good? It was interesting to see stuff about her?
Yeah, it was really fun to see how she creates a song. And
okay, so the one thing I've heard is that like... So you guys, I struggle with this because I really don't like her, if you guys can't tell. But I also really respect a good artist. I respect a good song. And so I have this like weird inner struggle because I do really respect like the work she puts out, but I like cannot stand her. And it's like a weird dichotomy, right? So I'm kind of obviously like not wanting to watch the documentary. But one thing I have heard from my friends about watching it is they were like, okay, the one thing you should watch is the part where she talks about her songs, because she, like, the way she makes her songs apparently is like, it's an interesting part of the docu. Yeah. And that is like, I feel like that's one part you can't dispute would be interesting. It's just talented. To see. She's super talented. I'm fully aware, like, and fully willing to admit she's talented. I just like really don't like her. But then again, it's like, damn, well, that was disgusting. Is this how people feel about Kanye? Probably.
Well, she had footage of, like, a Kanye. She was talking about, like, all the hate that she's gotten and going through, like, eating disorders and stuff. And
footage. Perpetuated, like, so much victim syndrome over the years. Like, all she does is, like, play the victim.
What?
So
I saw
it's because she produced it.
I saw a woman rising up and reinventing herself. Many of times, and yeah. I like Taylor Swift since the Tim McGraw days.
That is a good song.
It's a good one. And then Romeo and Juliet and Our Song. I loved them all.
I mean, like, people forget she won Album of the Year for Fearless.
Yeah.
Like, literally Album of the Year against, like, every other Grammy. Mm-hmm. Like, she literally won it, like, 19 or something.
Yeah.
It's a pretty iconic album.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. I'm never going to be Team Taylor, but, like, I can respect that she makes a damn good song.
I like it. I'll take it.
And speaking of songs, so in the last week or so, both Justin Bieber and Tame Impala have released an album after about a 4 to 5 year hiatus both. Which is interesting. I mean, not nearly the same type of music, but it is funny. They both released an album on the same day, on Valentine's Day. And weirdly enough, both of their album art was like very red. And I'm not sure if that was intentional for Valentine's Day or not. But both good albums, but also just like it was very weird.
Yeah.
Like to see that they both had released albums on the same day and on Valentine's Day. I was like, okay.
How many songs are on each album? 14?
I mean, that would be like great branding. Yeah. I can't confirm or deny, but
were they good?
Yeah, it was good.
Songs are good?
I liked both, but
is that the one, the yummy, yummy one that everyone's talking about?
The yummy,
about?
Yummy, yeah. Yeah. I mean, apparently that's about, like, giving head, which, you know, great, good for you. Like, you're married now, you can do that.
I heard it was, like, trying to create awareness about some sort of human trafficking, which is really interesting that you're, like, giving head, and I'm like, human trafficking.
Tell me more about the human trafficking.
I don't know. Yummy. There's, like, this place, and they use these, they say, like, the yummies and the pastas are in the back and da 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 da. Like, it's, and they're talking about, like, either, like, a pasta is, like, a baby and, like, a yummy is, like, a teenager or something.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. That's what, like, a client was telling me. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it any further than that.
Here's the thing. If Biebs is using his Bieber fever to, like, create social awareness, like, even more iconic than I thought. Like, that would be great. Because that song to me is, like, very average. But if it is, like, about something bigger, then, you know, it might go up in my book.
That's huge. Yeah. Way to go, Biebs. I mean, I've always had Bieber fever. Are you into Biebs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always liked him. I'm super into Bieber.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Like, eeny, you can't.
Eeny, miny, mo.
Yeah. Wow, what a deep cut.
Oh, my God.
Featuring Sean Kingston, right?
Yes!
yeah, which is also, like, a deep cut. Like, where is he now?
So good. I love that one. He had a bunch of great ones. He was my favorite.
Honestly.
16-year-old artist.
My Journal, do you remember that album? It's like a, yeah, you probably don't. You're looking at me like, no. It's like a little-known album. But honestly, like, My World 2. Those were the name of his early albums.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Very creative. Wow. Here's the thing. Here's how I feel about Bieber. You can love or hate him, but you cannot deny his talent. But maybe that is the same thing as Taylor and Kanye.
Yeah.
Like, you can love or hate any of fill in the blank, but, like, the whole point is, like, you can't deny their talent.
They're very talented.
All of them. Very talented.
Yeah. And I'm just very much on the boat right now where, like, I don't know him enough about them personally to be like, I like him or I don't like him. I'm like, I can listen to your music and I enjoy your music and I'm just going to take that for that. And I'm going to try not to, you know, like you or hate you. I'm just going to enjoy your music.
Yeah. You got that yummy, yummy.
Yummy, 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 yummy. I mean, that's all I know. I don't know if I've actually heard the song. I mean,
that's all you really know. That's
heard, like, the clips entire song. And just, like, those. I think there's memes out already. I don't know. I saw something. So, I don't know.
Well, we've got a great interview for you guys with Tony Puri.
Oh, yes. Talk about that confidence.
Yeah, we're going to be talking confidence and her hype book and all these really cool things that Tony likes to talk about. So we hope you guys enjoy.
Confidence today. C for confidence.
We are drinking some cinnamon tea and we are so excited to have a lovely lady we met a couple weeks ago by the name of Tony Puri, and she is a speaker, an author, a visibility strategist, a confidence advocator, just a very generous, lovely lady, and the creator of this incredible self-esteem, self-care book called My Hype Book, which we'll get into. It's incredible. It's like having your best friend right there with you, you supporting you.
It's hardback.
It's hardback.
It's a sexy pretty. Book.
It's sexy.
It's a sexy book.
And it's going to give you all the confidence you already have inside.
I've had it for 3 weeks already and haven't written it because it's so beautiful.
Tony has an incredible backstory. She's got an incredible confidence herself and just is just a great person to chat with. So we are going to, without further ado, welcome Tony.
Tony!
Thank you so much. Nobody's ever described the book as sexy.
And that, you know, sexy is confidence sexy in a way.
Sexy is confidence. It takes confidence to be sexy. So yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself. And how you got to write the hype book, the sexy book.
Got to write the sexy, the hype book, my hype book. I need to make myself a hype book. That was my thought. And so I sat down in the middle of my living room floor and I started to write out all of my wins and my attributes and my my gifts and just those things that made me personally proud. And I tell you, within 2 days of doing that, there was this a confidence that rose up in me like never before. And I think it was because I was, for the first time in my life, looking at myself through my success lens versus it being all filtered with all the shoulda, woulda, coulda. Oh,
the success lens. Yeah. What is that? So I've heard that before. Like, you got to switch the lens. Yes. It's like your perspective.
Right.
So you started switching to the success lens of after looking at a list of things that you felt good about.
Right.
Oh.
Right. It made such a big difference. And there were things that were, I was really careful. They were things that made me personally very proud because I think we tend to want to do what society says success is.
Right.
Or the things that you should be proud of that. But really, it was about what made me proud. What was it that made me feel really good? Things like I launched the company at the beginning of the recession and we soared. And I never took the time to be really proud of that.
Yeah. That's an accomplishment in and of itself.
Right?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, I think in so many industries as well, in Hollywood in particular, it's go, go, go. Right. And there isn't the pause
exactly
to celebrate.
That is it.
And in PR, I mean, I've worked a bit in PR as well, so I can speak to the fact that it's, you know, one placement and great, on to the next. Exactly. And where else are we going to get this ad spot in? And,
right.
You know, so yeah,
taking the time. You're kind of constantly, you accomplish and then you're on to the next and then you accomplish and then you're on to the next and you're thinking about the next five things that you have to do. So you don't take time. However, if you have a setback, you mess up, you fail at something, we ruminate on that.
Oh, sure do.
I mean, we just sit right on in it, you know, and make it a nice blanket around.
Wrap yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, I just want to cry in this bag.
I know.
They don't like me.
Right.
Yeah. Rejection again.
Exactly. It's a crazy thing that we do that. And I had done a lot of that, especially during the time that I had the agency. We would achieve something great and I would be frustrated that we didn't achieve great.
Right.
I mean, I look back, I never let myself off the hook more and doing better. And I look back during those 2 days and realize there were some really big opportunities that I missed, not only in celebrating for myself, but also celebrating for my team.
Yeah.
You know, right. So
it's like you did have a certain confidence back then. There's no doubt about that. Right. Obviously, you did very well in your field, but probably in reflection, it's a very different confidence and different backbone of a confidence that you have now or that you want to perpetuate now.
I do. It is. And it's all, honestly, it's not just about the accomplishments, because we have seasons where we're really killing it and then we have seasons where it feels like we're flatlined, you know, and that's life. But really, what are those things where I felt really good no matter where we landed? You know, there were times where maybe I didn't get the gold, but the effort that we or I put into it made me really, really proud of myself. And appreciating those at those times as much as, you know, the times where, you know, we came across the finish line, you know, in first place.
Yeah. The effort is huge. Is something that I've been focusing on.
Oh, I love that.
More than, like, I heard it in, like, a context of, like, praising young girls instead of, like, you're so pretty, you're so beautiful, you're so smart, like that. It was, like, praise them on their effort.
Yes.
Because it's not about the straight A. It's not about being the best of the best in comparison.
Right.
Comparison is another no-no word. But it's the how much effort you put in. Be proud of that effort.
It's so important.
And the feeling, right?
Yes.
That it evokes, again, kind of, you know, going on a tangent here, but what do you define success as? It's right. like, is it that crossing the finish line in a money level or a hierarchy in a structured job? Maybe, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't could have be to a be feeling. It could be a joyous feeling. It could be a reflection on, you know, a connection.
Right.
Yeah, redefining that standardized societal form of success.
Exactly. Too. You've got, like in the beginning of the book, I have rules of engagement. And I think number six maybe is you set the standard mm-hmm. of what success is. It's what success is. What was it that made you feel successful? When I did, I ran the LA Marathon. I didn't win by any stretch.
Right.
But that effort, girl.
But the effort.
But you did win. Like, that was with yourself. Are you
supposed to? Exactly. That was a win.
As someone who's run a lot, it's, the comparison thing, especially in those races, like, you can't. Right. You just can't. It's totally you and your training and your own journey.
100%. I was, the time that I put into training for it and that day, and making it across the finish line, and then even getting in that ice bath after, that was a victory.
Yeah.
Because I don't like being cold. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you kind of start, it makes you, my process now is how do you shift the whole way that I look at what makes me proud and what makes me feel really confident and excited about, you know, what I've accomplished.
Love it. When did you go from just having a book in your living room, a self-written book to this nice sexy book?
The sexy book.
Let's see. So that happened actually in the day two of it being in my living room floor. It's so funny. My husband, he'd walk through and I was just sitting there in the floor with all these pictures cut out and journaling. And he kind of knew, yeah, I'm not going to bother her. He sort of tiptoe around
smart
me.
Man. I know it.
But my girlfriend sent me a text message and she said, you know, what you doing? And I said, I'm making a hype book. She's like, what's a hype book? I'm like, it's the best thing ever. It's when you take time to sit down and take inventory of your gifts and your talents and your qualities and your wins. And she's like, Tony, that's amazing. Everybody needs one. And I said, I know. That's why you have to do it. She's like, no, Tony. Everybody needs one and you need to write that book. And so thank goodness for good girlfriends. Yeah. And so I thought, oh, okay. And that put me on a 9-month journey of writing what is now my hype book. And it was so cool for me because where I didn't know what I was going to do next, this was the journey, even going through that really dark season of figuring out what was next for me. And I'm just so happy that I had that process. It's, you know, we learn a lot in the dark stages that
the most.
They're miserable when they're happening, but we always look back and learn a lot from it. And that was one of those things that I learned. I think the irony for me though is, you know, I always say it's just kind of those God winks where here I was in a place in my life where I felt like I had no confidence mm-hmm. and I would end up writing a book about, you know, confidence. How you build that self-confidence.
That's so brilliant. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. So we were lucky enough to meet Tony a couple of weeks ago at a networking event. She kind of shared a bit about her story and all of this that we're kind of sharing with you guys. But one of the things that we went around and we were chatting about was what the characteristics of confidence are. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, for me, I love those moments where you stop and think and kind of define or reflect because there's so many, you know, words or concepts like even success that you know what it means in the dictionary, but what does it really mean to you or different meanings for each people or each person? So that was fun. And, you know, I'm kind of trying to remember what we came up with.
Oh my goodness.
With what the characteristics of what confidence is.
There were a lot of really different, what were some of the things that everybody said? I've done a couple of these since.
I want to say someone said calmness, like with yourself.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It is.
Kind of like a self.
It's a calmness. Knowing.
Oh, it's a knowing.
Knowing was something that came up and that resonated
with
me
one.
Because it's interesting when you know you're good at something, you're right. Like, yeah, whatever. Like I'm great at playing pool. Like, And I know that, but it's like such a low stake thing. But as the stakes get higher, you're like, I don't know if I know. Right. And like there's other people. And then that's when that comparison comes in, exactly. That like negative self-talk tries to like sneak in there. Right. And then, so I've been trying to just like take a moment before like every audition or whatever it is I'm doing that day and being like, I have a knowing that I am good at this, that I can execute this well with confidence. Right. So the knowing and the confidence have been coming up.
Knowing together. Is a huge thing. And here's the thing, when you're operating in your confidence, you ignite that knowing. Mm-hmm. There's this assurance that you have that it may not even make sense to other people. When you say, I'm going to nail this audition. Mm-hmm. And you just have this knowing. And then when they call you, you're like, yeah.
Duh.
I knew I did it.
You're reaffirming what I already knew. But yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. But yes, you are correct.
Right. But yeah, there's a knowing that comes, that ignites in you when you are operating in confidence. And I think one begets the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to just ask, is it the chicken or the egg there? And I think there's probably no one answer, but,
right.
You know, reflecting on the wins or commemorating, right?
I say it's so important to commemorate those accomplishments and those things that you do that make you really proud. And I say it different. It's different than rewarding yourself. For instance, when your girlfriend or one of you accomplished something that you've been really working hard at, the other one, you may say, okay, we're going out for drinks. We got to celebrate. You did that thing. You don't say, I want to reward you for it. And that is, you commemorate it like we commemorate birthdays and anniversaries and graduations because we want to make a moment of, we want to kind of freeze that moment in time so that it's punctuated with a life moment and something that's being really special. And those tend to stay more prevalent in our minds when we look at it that way. So I say when you are accomplishing things, when you are looking back at those wins or when you have a win or you're proud about something, how do you commemorate that thing? How do you say, okay, I want to identify this moment as a moment so that I'm remembering this as much as I'm remembering or more than I'm remembering the things that maybe didn't make me so happy. And there's a section that there are all of these choices and how you can commemorate. And it's so interesting because so few people do it. I have, there's a text thread that me and about 10 other girlfriends are on. And so when I was writing the book, I thought, let me ask them, hey girls, so how do you commemorate yourself when you do something really good? How do you celebrate yourself? And it was like crickets. So I'm like, you might respond to me. A couple of days
maybe
later,
maybe didn't go through. Yeah, maybe a couple of texts.
Still pending. Yeah. Nobody said anything, and then finally one responded, and she's like, "Oh my goodness, I really don't do anything." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know it." So then I go on Facebook and I ask the same question, and most everybody's like, "I really don't, you know, do anything." A lot of people came back with, "I reward myself by going to the spa." You know, I'm like, not reward yourself. How do you celebrate it? How
that
do you
moment?
Right.
Yeah.
And so then I had to change the question, how would you or how will you or what would be fun for you to do? And I got all of these answers. And so there's a page in the book that encourages you to every time you write in a win in it, there's a question that asks you, how are you going to celebrate this moment? And then there are all of these options that you have. Mm. You know, there were some, like my husband was like, you know, get a cigar. Buy a cigar, you know. Somebody said, buy a new pair of shoes. I love the train. So I'm like, sometimes I'll just take the train down to San Juan Capistrano.
Oh, fun. Because
it's just a nice, you know, inexpensive way to just, you know, have a moment.
Yeah.
Or sleep in or, you know, have breakfast in bed or it doesn't have to be a big thing.
I love all those things.
Right. And those are that's how you can, it doesn't have to be a pretty big production, but it's just symbolic of you commemorating that accomplishment. Right.
It gives you that feel good
feeling.
It does.
To kind of keep that knowing and that confidence going.
Right.
Because you're like, oh, like, yeah, treating yourself to that, to commemorate is like, yeah. So you get that feeling and you get to hold on to that right. for longer. And then
it resonates more powerfully.
It does. As well. It really does. And that's the thing, because we certainly, like I said, we'll give that mental real estate to that stuff that's not so great and way too much of it. And if you think about that, the balance between how much time you spend thinking about or commemorating or feeling or relishing those happy moments versus when you're ruminating over the, you know, the stuff that didn't go your way,
yeah.
it's usually grossly imbalanced. Mm-hmm. And we owe it to ourselves to not only give equal time, but more time. Because right. I think I'm a firm believer we are really more a culmination of the things we do right mm-hmm. than we are
yeah.
the things that go wrong for us. We just pay attention to those a little bit more than we should. A lot more than we should.
Yeah. Punctuate your purpose.
Punctuate your purpose.
Yeah.
Where did that, I don't know why I wrote that there, but did that come from the book? Or was that from your notes? The punctuate your purpose.
Well, I did just say that.
Okay.
I'm saying it. When you accomplish something, the way you punctuate that moment is to, you know, you pay attention to it. You put a stamp on it. You say, this is worth me seeing myself this way. This is worth me looking at myself through this lens versus, you know, just all the ways that we beat ourselves up for not, you know, being, doing, having all the answers. I like to tell a fun story about when I started the company. I read in a magazine, business magazine, that to be successful, you know, making $1 million in your first year is success. And so I was like, we're going to make $1 million in our first year. And everybody, first of all, thought I was crazy for launching my company because I launched it in 2007. And people weren't, like women weren't running to entrepreneurship, you know, at that point. It was still very a big deal to climb the corporate ladder. And although that wasn't that long ago, but it feels like things have changed, you know, so much. So we didn't make $1 million our first year, and like 18 months in, I was at my desk having a meltdown. I mean, like tears, crying, and my controller calls and she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, everybody was right. I shouldn't have started the company. I didn't make $1 million. We're 18 months in. And she's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm not. This is really serious. And she's like, you have a thriving company in the middle of a recession. Companies are laying people off in droves and you have big luxury hotels calling you to represent you. You're mad that you didn't make $1 million in your first year. You have a talented team of employees. And I'm like, you don't get it. This is really terrible. And
it's not part of the plan.
I know what she's like, Tony, I'm sorry, but I don't feel sorry for you. And I'm like, I can't believe you. She said, slow your roll, Oprah.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
She was your hype girl.
I was like, whatever. And so I'm kind of mad. I hung up on her. She's a friend. So I hung up on her. She calls me back. She's a couple of hours later, you finished having your temper tantrum? And I'm like, no, I cannot believe you don't understand. And for years, that was a bone of contention between us because I'd say, I can't believe you didn't have more empathy for me. And she's like, Tony, I won't ever have empathy for you. You were killing it. And you were mad at yourself because of some stupid thing that you read in a magazine. And I look back at that now that I regret so much that I didn't celebrate how much we were accomplishing, mm-hmm. that we were thriving
yeah.
really well in a yeah. recession. And how I robbed myself of really being proud of that fact that we were killing it against the odds, all because I felt like I had to live up to what somebody else said, you know, success was. And so that became a really big lesson for me. And it wasn't until I was sitting in my living room floor writing out my wins that I thought about that and I realized what she was talking about,
yeah.
you know, the whole time. And so, of course, when I called her to let her know, she really wanted to let me know. I told you
that. But she wouldn't be a good friend if she didn't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that celebrating throughout, because I know, yeah, the world is just so fast-paced, and it's go, 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 that when you have that second of, like, something didn't work out or something fell through or you didn't get to, like, a goal or something, it's just, like, it can be crippling.
Right.
And then in hindsight, if you can come out of that and just be like, okay, I did this. I accomplished this. Like, for me, it's like, I'm always like, I have to remember that I moved out of bumfuck Pennsylvania and I'm now living in Los Angeles pursuing things that make me feel really good and creative and fulfilled. And I'm always like, yes, remember where you came from. Like,
you have to look at it from that way. You have to look at it. It's so easy to dismiss it. But there is another section in the book called Overcome, you know, where you stop and you think about the things that you've overcome.
Yeah.
It's not easy living here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we kind of overcome the 405,
everything,
the cost of living, you know, all of those things, and we're still doing it and we find creative ways to make it work. Yeah. That is so much to be proud of and so courageous to pick up and move across country like that to a place like, you know, as daunting as, you know, LA. A lot of my friends back home, I grew up half my life in Boston, the other half in the Southeast.
East Coast too.
Yep. And my sister especially, she's always like, your life's not normal. And I'm like, my life is so normal. She's like, no. Your life's not normal. It's not normal.
She's still in Boston?
She lives in Georgia.
Oh, okay, cool.
And what's normal for us, you know, is normal, but for the rest of the world, it's not.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to step out of your situation and really take perspective of where you are, because I know all of us have so much more to be proud of than we give ourselves credit for. The things that we overcame as children, maybe there was a really critical parent or a relative, or, you know, there was a loss or there was a sickness or an illness. Yeah. They're just things that we overcome, a breakup, you know, being laid off. There are things that we overcome all the time that we don't give ourselves credit, you know, for. I survived that. And now I'm all the wiser because of that experience, because I know now what won't work for me in that kind of situation. Yeah. And taking the time to recognize those things, I think you can't help but feel more confident about yourself and pretty proud of yourself, you know, because life's not easy all the time. And the fact that you survive it says you're here for a reason and a purpose. I'm a firm believer that there's destiny on everybody's life, but you have to have the confidence to walk out that destiny. You have to, even if it's just taking a step every day. I'm going to take one step closer. I'm just going to take one step closer. I may not even know where it is or where it's going
to
land.
Well, I don't know where my destination is, but I'm destined to take a step towards it.
That's it. That's really it. I will say another thing that came out of doing the book for me, because I've always been a very destination-driven person, goal-driven. That's the goal. Come hell or high water, I'm going to get there. I might have to climb a mountain, dig a hole, you know, leap a wall. But what it has taught me is how to just sort of surrender to not knowing what the big thing is. And that's a totally new experience for me. And it's also made me take inventory more of every day and every step and see that every step and every day is an accomplishment. And so so I recommend, you know, I always encourage people, look at it from that way.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's kind of like if you do take inventory of the things you've done and you know you can do it, there's the knowing there. Right. But if you don't know where you're going towards, it's, you know, can be scary. But having the knowing that you just believe in yourself,
right,
and not saying, oh, I did this before, I, you know, I raised X amount of dollars, I can do this, I have that end point, like you said, the, like,
being fixated on where you're going versus just having that knowing and self-assurance that even if you don't know where you're going, you still have the knowing.
You're still going to land somewhere. You're going to be fine. Yeah. There is a quote in the book that I love by Steve Jobs. I know you've heard it before. It says, you cannot connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backward. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. Because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart even when it leads you off the well-worn path. I love that so much.
This sexy book is full of really awesome quotes like that.
Really incredible, really sexy quotes.
That's true. I love that because then it takes the pressure off of having to know where it is, but yeah. just knowing, you know, the dots are going to connect.
Because if you already know, you have that knowing, that confidence, then you should be able to surrender to whatever it is that is destined for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear you have a little exercise for us. We did it a couple weeks ago, but we want to share it with you listeners as well because it's really cool.
And yeah, you can do this right along with us. It's easy and it's, well, I don't know if it's easy. It's easy to write it, but to believe it and know it, you know.
Right. It is I like to call it a postcard, a love postcard to yourself. And it's challenging for most people, I will say. I'm always intrigued by how challenging it is and how it's challenging by some of the most, you're like, wait, you have so much. Why would you not, you know, be able to write this about yourself or introduce yourself this way? But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that was what we needed. I found it hard, and Juliana shared that night and knocked it out of the park. Where I was like, can I get another one of those postcards? Because I got to check in again and, like, reevaluate. Because it was very, mine was very... just very superficial. It wasn't very deep. It wasn't very specific. It was just like, oh, you're witty and strong and ambitious and joyous. And like, Juliana knocked it out of the park and she went another layer
it's
deeper.
Not a comparison.
It wasn't a comparison. But it was inspiring to me to be like, right, allow yourself that permission to go a little deeper and really, what do you have to offer?
Right.
What do you want to share with the world? What do you want other people to see in you?
Right.
And if you know it's in there and you want other people to see that, then write it on a postcard and remind yourself of it every day.
That's why I say, I always use when I'm encouraging people to do this during workshops, I say, write this introduction to yourself as though your best friend that knows you so well and is so proud of you is introducing you to somebody and they are just gushing to the point where you almost feel embarrassed. And that's when you know you're nailing it.
That's the tact I took.
It was very good.
I honestly thought of kind of, this is cheesy, but what you would say.
Aww.
I was like, she would do more. She'd be more flowery in this language.
It's honestly, sometimes it's almost like you have to remove yourself because we can be very modest when it comes to ourselves. There's a quote that when I was kind of testing the book to see if, you know, would people get this? Or maybe this was just good for me. But there's, it's actually on the back of the book that says, the presence of humility should not mean the absence of personal accolade. Because a lot of people think, I can't.
Is that
too
a quote
modest.
From you?
Yeah.
That was your thing. That's Steve Jobs.
I can claim that one.
You have a quote. I love it.
But yeah, that's the thing is, We can still be a person of humility and be proud of ourselves.
Yeah, you can be humble and confident. They're not mutually exclusive, for sure.
Right. And a lot, I know there are people that are like, well, I just don't want to be arrogant. If you're concerned about being arrogant, you don't have to worry about
becoming arrogant. Exactly.
True. Exactly.
That's accurate. You know?
And the people that are don't need a book like this, so.
Yeah. Right. All right. Okay. So, it says, hello. And then you write your name. Mm-hmm. And then you say, I would like to introduce you to your name. Mm-hmm. An amazing individual whom I am extremely proud to call my good friend. I am her biggest advocate because she is blank, comma, and am blank. So three blanks. Mm-hmm. And those who know her find her to be extraordinary because, and then it's like five lines to just gush about how awesome you are. Signed with unconditional love, your biggest fan, or
blank.
your blank. Signed your blank, so you can write whatever else you want there. So let's have at it and do this little fun exercise.
Okay.
So yours is done.
Okay.
Do you want
to? Yeah, I mean, I think mine holds still.
Yeah,
I put it in my bathroom, by the way.
Oh,
I sent Tony a picture. I put it up in my bathroom, so I've been reading it every day, and honestly, it's been good.
I love that.
It's been good.
Oh my goodness, you make me want to cry. Oh. I love that. That's exactly the thing.
Yeah.
You need to be introduced to that woman, that fabulous woman, every day.
Yeah.
So that when you walk out of the door,
helpful.
Everybody else meets her.
Right. So, well, without further ado.
Okay.
Hello, Juliana. I would like to introduce you to Juliana, an amazing individual whom I'm extremely proud to call my good friend. I'm her biggest advocate because she's brave, creative, and empathetic. And those who know her find her to be extraordinary because she's incredibly fun, interesting, beautiful, and iconic. Her ass doesn't quit, and neither does her drive to be kind to herself and others. She's constantly trying to improve, and it's admirable and inspirational as fuck. She will, and she will do it, an incredible job, whatever it is she ends up doing, and she deserves it all. With unconditional love, Juliana.
I love it!
So good.
That is so good.
And specific, and yeah. Did
she nail it?
She nailed it. It was so good, because I would have said all of that, too, about her.
See there?
It was so great. I actually heard a little Jahara in there, too.
Yeah.
Her ass won't
quit. My roommate. Shout out to my roommate, you know? You got to think of how your friends
would
see you and why they love you, because you're so lovable.
They see that all the
really
time.
Beautiful.
Your turn.
Oh, well, I haven't redone my new one yet, so, all right, so this is my semi-basic one. Well, we'll just leave it. It is what it is.
Okay. It is. It's
so,
great.
Hello.
Can we do them?
Ashley, I would like to introduce you to Ashley, an amazing individual whom I am extremely proud to call my friend. I am her biggest advocate because she is strong, joyous, and ambitious, and those who know her find her to be extraordinary because she is funny, witty, smart, outgoing, talented, gifted, always fun to be around. She knows exactly what she wants, and she is unstoppable. She is fucking awesome, amazing. Ashley, with unconditional love, your biggest fan, Ashley. And then the hashtag is believe your hype.
Woo-hoo.
So get specific, put it out there, let the universe know what it is that you want to show up for.
I love it. You did great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. You did great.
But your specificity was just, like, so fun. Like, I could hear, I could hear all your friends just, like,
we all have our own flavor.
Yeah. And it was so the flavor is make it your own.
I love it. So now post that up in your
bathroom.
Up in your bathroom.
I like the bathroom. Yep. I've done, like, the lipstick writing on the bathroom wall. That's
you know
helpful.
What are really good to whiteboard? Whiteboard markers.
On the mirrors?
On the mirrors.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Get yeah, they're helpful. Yeah, because it's almost like you sometimes need that physical reminder because that
triggers
that brain. Yeah.
Right.
That little brain. Like, the fact that we can observe the brain to begin with is that we are not our thoughts. So if we can just get a nice little cue of like, mm-hmm. oh, wait, no, I'm not what's going on up here at this sure. moment. This is like this little negative cycle. We're going to come out of that and be like, well, that's right. I'm my own best friend. I'm my own hype crew.
Right.
what is it about me that's awesome? And then we can all walk around with a little more confidence.
Here's the thing. You should be your biggest advocate.
Yeah.
You have to be able to tap into that inner advocate, because sometimes you won't be able to reach your close friend or mm-hmm. your sister or that person that sees who you are. So you've got to, one, know how to tap into that, you know, yourself. But it also helps to have a hype tribe, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. those
a hype friends, tribe,
a hype tribe, those Ooh. People around you that you
are can... they on a group thread? How do I get a hype tribe?
How do I get me one of those?
I see hype tribe right here. Yeah,
this is the start of a hype tribe.
Yeah, we've got one going on.
But yeah, having those people around you that you know will encourage you and. That see that in you, that's so important. It makes such a world a different. Mm-hmm. He's fine. Kanye's fine over here.
He's confident. Let Kanye out of the closet.
he's very confident. I'm getting that.
Confident kitty. Confident little kitty.
Is there anything else you want to speak to about your book or anything you've got coming up? Are you excited for?
Yeah. Oh, well, let me see. I am, what am I doing? I'm still doing workshops around the book, and I'm having so much fun doing that. Mm-hmm. And definitely still speaking, doing a lot of speaking engagements. I actually have a 2-day intensive coming up in a few weeks that's called So You Want to Be a Speaker.
Ooh, okay.
Because I know a lot of people that have that desire, or they have something really special to say. And mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to use your confidence to gain visibility, to build your brand equity, for people to understand how you think and what you have to offer. Mm. So I'm excited to be rolling that out. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Ah. And where can people connect with you or find you?
You can always social media. Mm-hmm. I'm at Tony Puri on Instagram.
And that's spelled
TONIP as in Paul, URRY.
Tony Puri.
Yes. Awesome. Both Facebook and Instagram, and at TonyPuri.com.
What's your favorite tea?
Do you know, I will tell you, so there's this really yummy, what is this? Is it Celestial?
Yeah.
Celestial.
They have a really yummy chamomile and ginger. It's either chamomile, lemon, and ginger. I love that one. Mm. I love their sleepy time.
I was going to say sleepy
yes.
time.
Yes.
Everybody loves that. Their sleepy time. Sleepy.
I will drink sleep. I used to drink sleepy time during the day in the office.
I used to drink valerian root tea in my last office too to calm me, but then it was like, I think I'm gonna pass out.
I'm about to sleep.
And I think Earl Grey is always a favorite for me. I Classic. Had somebody a British actually tell me how you're supposed to put a little bit of milk in it and honey. Mm. That's the way she prepared it for me.
High
and
tea.
I love that. And so that is how I have it now.
Sounds delicious.
But I do love tea. That.
And then our next question is, what do you want to get clarity on in your life?
What do I want to get clarity on? I guess just how I'm always interested in having more clarity on how I can support others, mm-hmm. and how I can empower others, especially women. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want us all to be empowered, men, women, you know, everybody. But there's something about seeing women and young girls realize their potential, mm-hmm. that honestly, I just get a high off of it. Mm-hmm. And I just, if there's something about it that fuels me when I see people doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing, that just, mm-hmm. it excites me, it ignites me, it fuels me, it makes me want to go for it, you know, whatever. And so I'm always looking for clarity on how I can do that and be that more.
What is your guilty pleasure? If you have one.
I do. Let's see. What is my guilty pleasure? Television. TV.
I mean, it's so dang good right now.
There's a lot of really good shows out right now.
I'm like, I know it's like making my brain mush, but this is good stuff. Some of it, and we're all in the entertainment. Exactly. We live in Hollywood. We have to know what about the
show. I know, yeah. I know.
Any I'd particular things you've been really... I love, like, reality. That's my guilty. Yeah. I've dropped my shame about it. Love Island, Vanderpump, like, I'm into all of it.
I'm not so much, like, the cooking show reality mm-hmm. shows. Yep. Absolutely love them.
Yeah.
But I also...
There's a couple on Netflix right now with, like, Roy Choi.
I know, and with John Favreau. Oh, my that's God, a so fantastic good. One. I love that one, too. So
Great British Baking Show.
I have not... I've got friends that love that, and I haven't started it yet. Oh, my goodness, you need to. Like, I know I'm going to get
You're going to love it.
Cool. Well, then, I think... This was is... fun.
I have a lot of shows.
Very, very guilty.
That's it. This was so much fun. I knew I was gonna have fun with it. I knew it.
This is why everybody wants a podcast now, because it's just fun. It's just like making it. Get a couple of people in a room together and let's chat. Connecting.
Yep. Just having good conversation.
Hey,
we're back.
Don't sue us.
We're Stephen with confidence. Confident?
Confidence.
Confidence.
See, with our pal Tony.
Tony, what a lovely woman.
Truly one of the warmest, most generous people I've met in a long time.
Yeah. Really genuine. Can we use that word to describe her? Really
makes good. You, just by talking to her, feel like she's giving you a warm hug.
Mm-hmm.
Rare.
Yeah. Rare creature, but beautiful creature. Confident creature. Mm-hmm. Lovely. I love her. Love all of you. What did you steep on for confidence?
Man, I could have talked about it with her forever. Because, again, she's just so lovely to talk to and talk with. But I think what stuck out for me is the commemoration bit. Mm. We've personally, Ashley and I have been doing a really good job about it.
We've been
crushing the commems.
We totally have.
Thanks for the commems instead of thanks for the memes. but, you know, to what Tony spoke about, taking the time and really stopping and thinking about what you do celebrate instead of, you know, just the birthdays and the graduations and stuff. I really like that hit me hard. I don't know. I just, it when you do stop and think about it, you're like, wait, we actually don't. And to think, what if we start to and really do celebrate those smaller wins, because that is what makes up the primary part of your day in life, you know? Like, of course, celebrate the big things, of fucking course. But...
Throw that big old party.
But, you know, the day-to-day is lived in between, and, like, there's a lot to be celebrated there. And kind of, it's, I don't know about you, Ash, but it's been, like, really fun kind of thinking of ways you can commemorate. Like, we've been doing a lot around quality time together and, like, making a really delicious meal after we record or hit a milestone in our editing process, et cetera. But, you know, thinking outside the box, it just, that, you know, in a way builds your confidence with what you're, the way you're living. You know, you're like, oh, I'm gonna now celebrate this, but I'm confident in the fact that we could either do this or go to a museum, or I know that it's special for you and me to cook together, etc. So it kind of all feeds into itself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it totally does.
But it's been a fun exploration process.
It has been.
Exploring this, like, commemoration station.
Yeah, we have like 2 meetings a week now, and it's like commemorate and then record, and those are like,
and usually eat.
And
but it's like,
but that's a,
it's now kind of like this thing I look forward to with
I
us
also
and
think
like cherish
it, exactly. And I think it just happens to cherish. Be the time.
Cherish is a c word. We love the c's.
But I think that's a, it's the time of the day we're meeting as well, where it's dinner time and like we've been working and we're like, yeah, it's dinner time. Let's eat.
So, we're tired.
I mean, yeah, we worked
sometimes
all day.
We're tired, but then it's like, again, let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that. We did good work today.
And we're making home cooked meals. And like, that is a great way to commemorate anything.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when it gets a little warmer out and stays brighter longer, it'll probably either turn into like going outside and like being outside,
but that'll be fun too, like we'll continue our commemoration.
Oh my god, commemorate
journey, I hate that word, but you know what I mean, like we'll continue to sort of evolve our commemoration together.
Yes,
and you know, beyond us, but like it's gonna change.
Continue.
Yeah, it'll change as the moments change in our lives. As friendships change, our friendships growing and changing too. So I'm sure a commemoration will change. But that's exciting to me. It's like,
yeah,
ooh, where is it going to go?
All the ways.
How can
we're
you
just
continue
starting
to
at
celebrate?
The basic level, the baseline of commemorating. Yeah. Like, we can get there.
Yeah.
For sure.
What about you? What was your a big thing that you took away from this convo?
Convo. Well, how almost easy it is to feel confident.
Oh.
When I
open expand
up,
on that.
When I, if I don't have my book.
The hype book.
If the hype book, the Tony Perry hype book, I am hyping myself up in my head. The mind, the brain, loves to be busy. And it's like a monkey brain. And if you don't give it something specific to do, it's going to monkey around and be in
places. You need to give it that confident banana.
I need to give it that damn banana and tell it to eat it and shut its mouth. So
you are beautiful. You are amazing. Eat your banana. Eat your potassium.
yeah, that's been really fun for me, is like feeling a thought will come in my head and I'm like, that's not really how I feel about this. And I'm like, no, I can do this. This is good. I feel confident. Like I've straight up been like, I remember like walking into work and I walk up a staircase. I'm like, I am confident. I'm going to rock this class. And like, I'm going to, you know, just rock it and kill it and crush it. So that's been really fun. It's been a fun game to play.
It's like, yeah, it gets your blood spiked a bit, like it's almost like a bit of an endorphin thing when you're that confident in yourself, and then it feeds on itself, and then you really are that confident, and then you will kill that audition, you will do well at the job, workout class, whatever you're doing.
Exactly. And I think you can take it anywhere. You can go for a run, you can take it into
you
work,
should you take, it, take it.
I like doing it before, right before I go to bed too, right before I drift off into my dream state.
Doing what before bed? What are we talking about?
Well, there's a few things.
Being confident, right?
We're
right,
just
right,
talking
right,
about the mental, confident, hype booking thing that I'm doing. Yeah. Stay on topic. That'll be another topic.
you can do it anywhere.
That's been really fun. Celebrating the small victories is also fun. Like, I like to do something, like, if I've been trying to make my own, I've been making my own French press coffee at home for a while, but I do like going out and, like, treating myself to a chai latte. So
ooh, yeah.
I do little commemoratings like
that. A beverage commemoration is kind of, like, can be kind of personal. My favorite thing lately, you know, for if I, you know, hit a check mark or kind of ritualistic, I'll get my oat milk latte from Blue Bottle after my boxing class.
Blue Bottle latte.
After my boxing class every week.
Yep. You crushed the boxing class. You showed up when you said you would. And that's, we need those little things that make you feel good. Like, you hold that thing and you're just like,
yeah. And it's kind of what she was saying though, right, about like, I'm not just spending money and rewarding myself. It's more of like I'm taking a moment to sink in what just happened and be proud of myself for like being good to my body at that workout class, not being like, oh, you did that thing, you deserve this. It's funny because it's the action isn't changing, but the mentality behind it's changing. It's, oh, I'm gonna not even reward myself with this latte, but I'm going to like take a moment and be like thankful and grateful that I was able to do that my body allows me to do this thing that helps me relieve stress, that I have the means and financially to do it. that I'm now going to have like positive energy for the rest of the day. My body moved. I did it for me and me alone. Yeah. All these things. And
it's the intention.
And then now that it's since cheesy, but now when I'm drinking this Odie delicious frothy, like,
so good,
imbibing this, I truly associate that now with boxing and with the positive effects that come with my boxing class. And that's, I think, what she was more talking about when you're commemorating versus rewarding. Yeah. And that shit is dope.
It's the shit. It's the tits. The cat's meow, rather. Meow. Kanye. Yeah, so that was, yeah, I love that. The commemorating is, it's just a really nice way to remind yourself that you can take a moment to yourself and can.
Or with someone.
Or with someone mm-hmm. and just appreciate the moment. And I mm-hmm. think that when you take more time to appreciate the moment or yourself, you gain confidence.
And gratitude.
And gratitude. And appreciation. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, they all go together, baby.
All of them. All of the things. So, yeah. Ugh, that was a nice, good. That was a fun like a steep. Episode, I'm still feeling gooey and steepy and delicious from it.
Tony's lovely. Please look her up if you haven't already.
Yes. Her hype book Tony is Purley. Really nice to do before bed. Along with many other things to do before bed.
And next week for D is for D. Oh. We'll get there.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. Shit. We'll see you in a week or two.
Yay, yay.
Bye.